great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. We're going to turn our attention to Wisconsin's Frank Lloyd Wright. He's certainly considered one of America's most famous architects. And he designed many of his important buildings for right here in our state. And we're going to be talking about them a bit with our guest, Susan Kennedy. Susan's a communications manager at Taliesin Preservation. The organization helps to preserve the legacy of Frank Lloyd Wright at his home, studio, and 800-acre property in Spring Green. And we're going to look at the 9 sites on the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail and a new website designed to help you explore them. So as we talk with Susan, I hope you'll join in. Are you a fan of Frank Lloyd Wright? Have you explored the trail? Which of the buildings of Frank Lloyd Wright have you visited? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Susan Kennedy, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Larry.
How the heck did you wind up at in the position that you are in as communications manager?
Well, it was a long path to get here. I've had an international career, but I always worked in marketing and up-leveled my career into the digital age, and this was the perfect fit.
Yeah. Well, tell us about Taliesin Preservation.
Taliesin Preservation is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. Mm-hmm. So we manage the tourism programming, events, summer camps, all kinds of things at Frank Lloyd Wright's, as you said, home, studio, and 800-acre property in Spring Green.
And what are visitors going to find at Taliesin?
At Taliesin, we have several tours available. 1-hour house tour, so you can, if you just have time for something introductory. 2-hour house tours that are more in-depth. Highlights tour that includes Hillside Drafting Studio, which is an incredible building that's often overlooked by people. It's fascinating. And then if you have more time, the in-depth 4-hour estate tour.
So, wow, 4 hours.
Yeah.
Takes four. I mean, what's part of the 4 hours?
Several buildings, a small break in between. You'll just have to go to taliesinpreservation.org and read about it and sign up.
Oh, my. I would love to. I'd love to do that 4-hour tour.
You can come anytime. I'll get you on one. No problem.
All right. So now tell me some more about the buildings. How about the house itself?
The house was built in 1911. It has endured 2 fires, so there has been quite a bit of history there that you will learn about on a tour. So we call it Taliesin 3 at the present moment, but it's stunning. It's gorgeous. When you walk in, I feel moved every time I'm in there. Never tire of it.
Jason, who works at Wisconsin Public Radio, was just there yesterday, I think he said.
Oh, wow.
He was on a tour yesterday, and he even said, oh, my gosh, you're going to do a show today about it?
Oh, that's great.
What is it about the building itself that creates that kind of feeling?
Franklin Wright's architecture is so timeless. He incorporated nature with the buildings. He coined the phrase organic architecture. I still don't think we've caught up to, that even in the modern day. And what he does is called compression and release. So you kind of have these tight hallways that open up into these grandiose rooms that are specifically tailored along with the landscape. And it's just something you have to see and experience in person to really understand.
Yeah, and lower ceilings that open up into
I kind of compare it to like the flower, like the bud of the flower that opens up. So
Well, it is a fascinating, beautiful place to visit. Well, let's tell me about the new website and what people are going to find there.
So the new website is for the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail here in Wisconsin. It's franklloydwrighttrail.org. Back in 2017, you may recall the legislation that took place by the governor to honor Frank Lloyd Wright in his home state. And 200 miles, including 9 sites along southern Wisconsin, were designated as part of the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail. And you would probably see roadways, but you may not know how to connect the dots until now. So with support from Travel Wisconsin through a GEM grant, that stands for Joint Effort Marketing, without them, this website and all the features wouldn't exist. But we've been able to connect the trail, and people can go on the website. They can download the app. We have a newly updated app. We have what's called a trail tracker feature, and it replaces a former passport program that we have, where they used to stamp the passports. And now it's a QR code, and you earn a badge to put on your social media when you complete the trail. So it's incredible.
200 miles.
Yeah.
Have many people done it yet?
I don't think anyone has quite completed it, and we don't encourage sprints. We encourage marathons. So, you know, we kind of say it, quote unquote, starts in like SC Johnson. So they have two sites, the administration building and the research tower. Everyone's probably familiar with the lily pads looking workroom. Then third on the list is Wing Spread. That's the SC Johnson original home by the Johnson Foundation. That's also in Racine County. Next would be Burnham Block in Milwaukee. Then heading over to Madison is Monona Terrace, as we all know. If you keep traveling west, you'll get to First Unitarian Society Meeting House. Then it's Taliesin and Riverview Terrace, which is the Frank Lloyd Wright Visitor Center, which is the gateway to Taliesin, where you would check in for your tours and visit our gift shop. And then just down the road is Wyoming Valley School. And then at the end, where it all began, is 80 German Warehouse in Richland Center, where Wright was born.
Yeah, and I want to talk some more, a little more in depth about each of these places as we go along, because a lot of people, even the SC Johnson building, they wouldn't necessarily be aware that it was a Wright building. It's a fabulous, fabulous place. And I'll give listeners a chance to join in, by the way. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Have you visited any of the sites that Susan just mentioned, or other questions about Wright? I hope you'll give a call or join in the conversation. Well, let's start with Racine. There are two sites in Racine.
Right. And I have not personally visited them myself, but I know that they offer free tours. Everybody probably knows SC Johnson, Wax, you know, Pledge, all the Ziploc, many, many products. But I've heard the tour is incredible. And
there are some, I believe, if you click on any of those sites on the trail, what kinds of things do you find? Aren't there some, or maybe I'm confusing sites, but like SC Johnson, for example, is a...
Yeah, so if you click there, you'll get the tour information and the traveler information, and basically sending you to like the Racine Visitor Center. And we like to encourage people to spend time in these locations and, you know, have lunch nearby or stay overnight and really just savor it. I also heard that there's a new exhibit in Racine about Frank Lloyd Wright that seems really neat to visit.
Yeah, that sounds great. Bill in Milwaukee, we'll go to you. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Larry, and hello to your guest. I visited Taliesin long ago. It's nestled in the middle of some of the most beautiful forests you've ever would have seen in your life. However, I am 6 feet, 8 inches tall. got the giggle I was expecting. When I went through Taliesin, I said, what is this, Munchkin Land or the Hobbit? I had to bend for everything. It was absolutely fascinating to see, especially the music room. The music recital room I thought was fabulous, but I had to admit, my back ached by the time I was through with Taliesin.
Well, you know, and there was a story about, and I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but Wright was not very tall.
Right. That's true.
And so he and I don't know if it was on purpose because of his height, but he did things from his own perspective. Isn't that true?
That could be part of it. It's rumored he was between 5'6 and 5'8. I've heard that he wore lifts in his shoes. Even his own ceilings, I would think, would be a little challenging. They are pretty low, I have to admit. But maybe the taller you are, the more you enjoy the release.
Oh, when you get right. Go from the hallway to the
exactly
to the grand areas. Well, Bill, I'm sorry you got a sore neck out of the trip, but he did say that it was a fascinating trip for sure, Taliesin. I have to ask Jason, our from WPR here, because he's kind of a tall guy too, whether or not he got a sore neck out of this. Well, Susan Kennedy is our guest today. She's the communications manager at Taliesin Preservation. So talking with her about the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail, we'll go into some more detail about the trail as we move along today. She'll be with us right up until 12:30 today. And you'll be able to join in. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with Susan Kennedy. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for being with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today. We're talking about the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail on the show right now with our guest, Susan Kennedy. Susan is the communications manager at Taliesin Preservation. And as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. Are you a fan of Wright's work? What's your favorite design? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. So the trail, it's 200 miles, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, is it?
Nine.
Okay. Nine places that you can see, and it's pretty much, I'm looking at a map of it right now on your site, and although it's 200 miles, it's basically southern Wisconsin.
Yeah. From Racine in the east to Richland Center in the west.
Yeah, so although it takes up a lot of mileage here, at least three of the places are pretty much right along Lake Michigan.
Yep.
And, well, here's Mike in Fond du Lac with a question. Let's go there. Mike, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Yes, I was wondering, since I am a biker, if any part of the trail is actually a bike trail.
That's a good question. I would love to connect it somehow in that way. There are loops and things in each of the areas, but nothing connecting the whole thing.
So you've got loops in there, Mike. And what? Where's the? Give us the site address again. The on-site address. It's
franklloydwrighttrail.org.
franklloydwrighttrail.org. Take a look at that. And when you, Mike, and I know you're going to find trails in virtually every one of the spots, but nothing that connects them as of yet. So tell you what, you're going to, maybe you can design that for us, Mike.
We'd love your help.
We'd love that. How are you funded and so forth?
For the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail?
Mm-hmm.
So the GEM grant, the Joint Effort Marketing Grant with Travel Wisconsin, is a huge funder of it. And then each of the sites have donated a certain amount of money based on their available funds for the promotions. I like to think of it as the phrase, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. So we, by creating this trail and connecting everything, you know, it's kind of giving exposure to a lot of sites that people didn't even know about. So
let's go to Milwaukee for a minute here. There are some homes in Milwaukee. Describe them and talk about why they're important.
Yeah, so Frank Lloyd Wright's Burnham Block is an example of his American system-built homes, and they are the earliest example of dwellings that Wright designed as part of his series of affordable mass-produced homes, which was really nice.
It was a big thing for him. I mean, he really was interested in designing homes that the average person could afford and were nice.
Exactly.
So that was one. There's another one in Milwaukee, isn't there?
Burnham Block. There's a couple of homes that are connected as part of that. I think there's two of them. But just before that would be the Johnson Foundation at Wings Spread. And that's in Racine. So after you visit the S.C. Johnson buildings, the home of the Johnson family, the space can be rented as like a conference center. And it looks just stunning. I'm looking forward to touring that one day.
Let's go to Lonnie in Green Bay. Lonnie's got a comment for us. Hi, Lonnie.
Hello there. My father was a big Frank Lloyd Wright fan and his architecture. He unfortunately passed away early, but I have a friend who lives in Lone Rock, so that's near Spring Green.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to stay with her and took my daughter to Taliesin when she was 18, and we got to tour, and I just wanted to say they have an awesome gift shop. I bought a clock from there that has his design in the back. And then I went back another time and got her a t-shirt. They just have cool stuff, some home decor stuff there too. I thought it was really impressive. I was a little bit nervous about walking on the trail because it was July, I think, and I didn't want to get all bit up because it's pretty dense forest. But I just think it's cool to learn more about his architecture. And now, you know, when I'm in Wisconsin, I know there's a hotel, and I didn't hear your whole show, but there's a hotel not far from Taliesin. I think it's in Spring Green, if I'm not mistaken. That is a Frank Lloyd Wright design. And it was kind of neat to stay there. Just like the ceilings were lower, like your other caller was saying, and they had just their decorations and the way that everything was designed. Like they had a patio, and it just was really cool to stay at a place like that.
Oh, Lonnie, thank you for calling. A comment, Susan?
The hotels, I'm not sure which one exactly you're referencing, but there are a couple of them that were designed by apprentices. So.
Oh, okay. So not Wright himself, but apprentices. And there are some other, there's a school, is there not, over there?
Yeah, the Wyoming
Valley. Or was a school anyway.
Yeah, the Wyoming Valley School. That's on the trail.
And that's on the trail. And tell us about it.
It's the only public elementary school that was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And he donated the drawing because his mother was a teacher and he was very big on education. So it was wonderful that he donated it to the River Valley School District.
And it's no longer a school, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, right now it's a cultural arts center and you can rent the spaces. It's a gorgeous setting, very easy to access. For example, if you're having an event or wedding and you need you know, easy accessibility. It's very quaint. It's a perfect location.
Yeah. Lonnie, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Karen in Harvard, Illinois. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Larry. I'm a big Frank Lloyd Wright nut. And I heard years ago that the hill on Taliesin, which Taliesin was built, I believe it was purchased by his relatives, the God Almighty Joneses. And I understand that if you were to look down from space, that particular hill and area is considered sort of the navel of North America. It's a very, very special spot.
Oh.
I'm wondering if your expert had ever heard that.
The navel.
Yeah, no, I've never heard that. I'm going to have to look that up. That's so great.
Oh, maybe somebody else has heard that too. Karen, thanks. I've never heard that reference either, so it's interesting to me as well. Karen, thank you. Appreciate it. Daryl in Menominee Falls, we'll go to you. Hi, Daryl.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm really a fan of Frank Lloyd Wright's architecture. You can always tell his unique design of the way he made the buildings and the structure and everything. And I heard a funny story about him, his sense of humor in resolving issues. The president of SC Johnson called him one time and said, you got to come out here. The ceiling is leaking above my desk. And he said, well, sir, that's an easy thing to fix. All you got to do is move your desk.
And I heard the rest of the joke is that he said back to him, but I can't because you built it into the wall.
Oh, I love that story. Daryl, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Pete and McQuantigo emailed. They spent a few summers visiting their father in the Burnham block when they were young. It was Pete's dream to own a Frank Lloyd Wright house. They sure wish they would have asked more questions about the Burnham block.
I wish they would bring those back to life. I would love to build one myself.
I dated a gal once from, was it Columbus, I think, and there's, her parents owned a Wright home. And actually, after they bought the home, they were up in the attic and you know, just to see what was up in there and found the drawings, all the drawings, and a bunch of stuff in Wright's own handwriting, comments on the sides.
Oh, how neat.
So it was a wonderful, and it was a beautiful home. Oh, my goodness. It sits up on a hill.
If you go to the airport exhibit that just opened, you'll see in the Burnham Block section reproductions of some of the sketches. They're stunning.
Yeah, it was quite a treat for me to be in that house. How many homes are there that are still in existence that were Wright homes?
I know that there's, I don't know about homes. I know there's 43 Wright buildings in Wisconsin. Yeah.
I heard there were about 400, roughly 400 homes still up in existence.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But of course, most of them are privately owned. You're not going to get into them, but you are going to be able to get into the places on the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail, which is kind of what we're talking about here today. So Wright was... he was kind of before his time in designs, wasn't he?
Definitely.
And the furnishings, and he was great at furniture. He had his designs on tables and chairs. It's just unbelievable. Can we still, are those any of those for sale, by the way?
Replicas. And we have, for example, the Taliesin lamp. You can go to our website. Our gift shop, we just changed to a different vendor on the back end. So we are slowly populating the website. So it's best to come in person to our gift shop right now while we're open 7 days a week from 8:30 to 5:30. But soon enough, but the Taliesin lamps are available on there, and they are replicas, but they're all handmade in the USA, and they're gorgeous. I know there's other furniture available through the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation's website. That's in Arizona. They have a shop as well. So we carry some, and we're always, you know, working together and getting more.
I tell you, I have a little bit of furnishing, a table that's a Wright design. And it wasn't Wright who designed it, but certainly in his style, and I love the style for its. It's simple, and yet it's kind of elegant at the same time.
Yeah, the mid-century modern is really making a comeback, and that's kind of, I guess that would be the style you could say he kind of originated.
Yeah. Do you, well, we haven't talked much about Madison, but I used to have a home on Lake Monona that was over near Olin Park, and so that's very close to the Monona Terrace.
Nice.
And so my evening view was the Monona Terrace and the Capitol.
Wow. Incredible.
Oh, yeah. And it was as close a view as you could get from a single-family home like that. But there are... but it's a fabulous design. And I mean the original design, at least aspects of the original design are certainly there. But there had to be changes made, I guess.
Yeah, he designed it as the Dream Civic Center back in 1938, but it didn't get completed till well after his death in 1997. He passed away in 1959. So Taliesin architect Tony Putnam is the one who took it over.
Yeah. It's a fabulous fabulous facility. Todd in Madison, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question about the building in Richland Center. I go through Richland Center quite a bit going up fishing, and it seems like it was its first commercial building. It seems almost like it's falling into disrepair a little bit, and I was wondering if there's any plans to bring it back into or state or anybody's getting involved in that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know that they are working on repairing it. I think it's just taking a lot of time and money. But I love 80 German Warehouse because it's in the town where Wright was born, in Richland Center. So it's kind of like a mecca for Wright. You know, it just, and it's on the National Register of Historic Places, 1974. So I'm sure they also are probably looking for donations. But if you go to the website, franklinwrighttrail.org, you can click on it and get more information.
There you go, Todd. Thanks a lot. And it is a beautiful building. And it's the style along the top third of the building, isn't
it? Yeah, the Mayan friezes.
Is that what?
Yeah.
I'd forgotten what it was, but it's really distinctive.
That's what you get when you hire Frank Lloyd Wright to design you a warehouse.
Now it's no longer a warehouse, is it? It's there are shops and so forth in there?
Yeah, it's been a few different things. I'm not sure how much of it is open to the public, but they do have tours. If you check on their website, and you can get there through the trail website. So,
let's go to Bill in Madison next. Bill, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to share a quick story about how well the staff at Taliesin treated my cousin. She was a visiting architect from Milan in Italy and didn't speak much English. And when I asked them ahead of time if they had anybody who spoke Italian that was a docent for the tours, they said, well, not really. But when we got there, magically, the docent on our tour did speak Italian, and she was just delighted that. You know, if you could talk to somebody about Wright, because it was on her bucket list to visit Taliesin. And then when we got to the theater, the docent had my cousin, the architect, move over to the right, and the rest of us sat on the left. And it turned out that she had put my cousin in Mr. Wright's chair.
Ah.
And to the delight of everybody in the tour, and especially my cousin, and we got a picture of her in that seat. So it was very special. and really went out of their way. I really appreciated it.
Oh, Bill, thanks for calling. That's a nice story.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so glad to hear that. If you go to the TaliesinPreservation.org website, we have a blog post about the restoration at the theater. We're going to start programming in 2024. But if you look at, I believe on that blog post, you'll see a picture, a historic photo of Wright sitting in that seat you're talking about. So you could probably do like a juxtaposition with the two. It'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. Bill, thank you again. Appreciate it. Dave and Toma, your turn.
Yeah, I used to work for the Johnsons, Herbert Johnson. That was two generations ago. And I had a lot of free time there, so I would read the books that he had sitting around. One of them was about, and I wish I remembered more about these books, but one of them was about the building of the Johnson's Wax Building. And where I worked is right next to Wingspread. And I never went there to see it. Shame on me. I've never seen the Johnson's Wax Building. Shame on me again. But the book described how they were building these mushroom-shaped columns to hold up major parts of the Johnson's Wax Building. And at the time, that was not acceptable architecture. And so what Frank Lloyd Wright did, and Johnson financed it, they stood up one of these columns in a field, and they had trucks delivering bags of concrete all day to stack up on top of these columns to show that they were strong enough to hold the building up. And at the end of the day, they were still stacking, but they were running out of daylight, so they quit and they knocked the columns down, and then they built the building with these columns.
Dave, a great story, and you're nodding in agreement on that one, Susan.
There is video footage out there. It might be on YouTube. I don't know if it's in our archives, but of that process where people said, no way are these going to hold, you know, the building up. And Wright said, yes, it will. And then they put like, I don't know, 60 tons or a lot of weight on them. And it took way more than the building would have weighed, you know, for it to fall. So he proved them wrong. So, yeah.
And there's a new exhibit at the airport, by the way. Is it not kind of part of the trail, but at least we should mention it at the Madison Airport.
Yeah, it is the trail, the art court. When you go to check in for a flight, there's a series of exhibit cases there. And we mapped out the entire trail from one end to the next. And each of the sites donated objects, provided information. And Elizabeth at Taliesin Preservation, she works with me. She designed the exhibit, and Tandem Press brought it to life. And it is phenomenal. I highly recommend. You can park in the ramp for 30 minutes for free, so you don't even have to be flying anywhere to check it out. But I hope it encourages more people to fly out of Madison Airport so they can see this stunning exhibit. People just love it.
So you're, again, the website, it's a great, I mean, for this tour of Frank Lloyd Wright is fantastic. And again, the website for people to go to?
For the trail is franklloydwrighttrail.org. And we have on a news page there, and you can click on the recent news, and it'll show pictures of the exhibit and press release, so you can go to the art court and check it out. It's there till the end of January.
All right, Susan, want to thank you so much for being with us today and talking about what's going on with the trail and Taliesin Preservation. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Susan Kennedy is the communications manager at Taliesin Preservation. It's kind of a cool thing to have a Frank Lloyd Wright trail. I love the idea. Well, and I love the fact you were listening in on the show today. I appreciate that very much. And as we look ahead, we've got Garden Talk tomorrow, and UW Extension horticulturist Lisa Johnson and Amy Friday will be with us to talk about the upcoming Master Gardener classes. And of course, you might have a gardening question. And if you do, just call in and they'll probably have an answer for you. That's tomorrow at 11. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.